Up here on the screen, you see a young man and a couple, I guess that's his siblings or something like that, in the bed. I want to show you the email the lady sent. She said, I hope this sends a picture of Matthew in the hospital with his twin sisters 4 days after suffering a massive stroke. Okay? 4 days after a stroke. That according to medical professionals should have taken his life. Prayer works. The Lord is the great physician. Hears our prayers and can bring much good out of any bad situation. Thank you all for the prayers. A side note, they had him walking yesterday. And as the Lord tells us to have the faith of a child. She said, Matthew wanted tracts to pass out, and I took him some, and he was walking, and he was having some difficulty. Had his tracts in his hands, was giving them out all on the floor. I'm sorry, what was you upset about? What was you complaining about? What excuses do we give for why we can't serve the Lord? What things do we let get in the way? And I'll tell you something. This thing about suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He said, if you'd have faith as a child, unless you come in like manner, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Children, I've found out, don't have a hard time believing the Bible. It's us grown-ups that have a hard time. But children don't. So here's a young man. Should have been dead just like that. And 4 days later, his mama's praying for him. God gives him life back. He's struggling to walk. But as he's struggling to walk, he's handing out tracts. If I was some old lost doctor in that hospital, I think I'd have got saved over that. Amen. Amen. That blessed my heart. And I sent his mom, Cheryl, a note back saying, can I share this? And she said, yeah. So, hey, we love you guys. Bethel Church loves you. And I don't know what camera's on, but everybody turn around that camera there or just say hi. Okay, I don't know if they can see. Number two, that one. Everybody look up there then. Say hi. Okay? I've had people write me and say, thank you for doing that. Hey, thank you for watching this morning. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Galatians if you would. You got a Bible? Brady, get your hand off that one. All right. Those of you who don't know me, I'm pretty picky about Bibles. And I don't know why this is such a big deal. Everybody is picky about something. Amen? Some people, so I know some guy. It aggravates me that some guys are so picky about the hair. Watch the hair, man. Who cares? Okay? Some people are picky about their cars. Some guys, you would think it's going to be a Ford truck that carries them into heaven. You would think that the way they talk. And then the other denomination say, no, it's Dodge. Bless God. Or Chevy. What does it mean if I have a Toyota? I'm not going. Well, I'm picky about my Bible. I think God wrote it. I think He inspired it. I think He gave those guys the words to write as they were writing. I think He preserved it. I think even though all the manuscripts that they wrote on had passed away because they were written on grass, literally, papyrus, that's what it is. They were written on grass and they all faded away. But God preserved His words all throughout history. And I believe God speaks English. Because when I'm praying to God, I'm not praying in Dutch or Spanish or German or South Fredericktown. Or Pocahontas. Yeah, that goes your laughing now, doesn't it, Jim? I'm speaking English. And God hears me that way. And when I want to know what God says, I open up my old Bible and I find out what God said. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning. I've been kind of hitting this theme on and off this morning. And I'm going to ask you this morning, do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the Bible? Just ask yourself the question, do I believe what God said? Because I'm telling you, God is looking to find people who believes. He's asking the question this morning, who will believe me? Who will believe what I said? God's asking that question. And I want you to think about it this morning. I started this last Sunday, started just preaching in Galatians. I don't know how long it's going to go, but God gave me a message this week out of it. And it was a blessing. I talked last week about how we know the real gospel. And we kind of went through the scriptures. We see the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel. In fact, let me explain the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel has everything to do with what probably most religions are trying to offer people in. Man, what is the offer of a religion? Most religions are trying to offer the idea that you can have some sort of life after our mortality, after we die. Practically any religion is going to offer you something that is beyond that. And so that would be sort of like the whole purpose of the religion. Some of the Eastern religions are teaching that after this life, you're going to die, but then you're going to come back, hopefully in a better form than you were. And to this day, if you go to India, some areas around that area, that's how those people live. And if you happen to be a low man on the totem pole out there, you're stuck that for life, because they believe religiously that that's where the spirits put you. And you're not ever going to be at the poor people in India stay poor all of their life. They're not allowed to get any better. But then you have people who are the upper class. Well, that's just how Buddha or whatever God, that's just how they were brought to that level, and they cannot be defiled by something that's low class down here. I don't buy that. I don't believe it. I don't like it. It's not the gospel. Because what if you are poor? What if you can't afford? You know what their promise to you is? Maybe it'll be better for you in the next life. Maybe. I don't want to live my whole life on a maybe. I don't want that. I want to be able to know that after this life, I do have something that's coming that is far better than anything that I've had down here. Can I get amen out of God's people? Islam? Boy, I hate that religion. Man, I hate that. It makes me mad because they're teaching these young men and these young ladies that if they will kill Christians, if they will wage jihad, if they will go in this holy war in the name of Allah and Muhammad, their prophet, that if they do that and lose their lives in it, then they will instantly find heaven, what they call paradise. And for a guy, paradise is you have chained to a couch 72 virgins that you can go in and defile repeatedly over and over and over again for all of eternity. That's paradise for the men of Islam. For the women, you get to be chained to the couch for all of eternity. That's your lot. Raise your hand if you think that's a good gospel. You think that's good news. That stinks. It's wrong. It's wicked. That's what they're teaching everybody. Then there is Paul was talking about another gospel. In fact, look at what he said here in verse 6. I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And I'm going to tell you that in so-called Christian churches, a different gospel is being preached. a gospel that says if you perform this, then you can show yourself worthy to receive the grace of God. Mormonism. Joseph Smith preached a gospel that said, after you have done everything that you possibly can do, then God will ascribe grace to you. And God will forgive any sin that you commit. If you repent of it, He will forgive it. But if you go out and sin that sin again, then the repentance and the forgiveness that was yesterday is gone. You're back to ground zero. You have no forgiveness whatsoever. That doesn't sound like good news to me. I can't live that way. And you can't either. Or a gospel that says, if you pay this kind of money, and you can get access to the good teachings, then you can have God's benefit. You can have God's everlasting life. Or if you are of a rich class, or if you can walk on your knees and say Hail Marys, or you can do this and you can do that. What if you can't do that? Or what if you fail to do it? Then it's not much good news. Raise your hand if you've ever made a promise and then broke the promise. Raise your hand. That's pretty much everybody here. So if someone telling you that you can be saved only if you promise to do such and such is telling you something that's not true, because we fail and we don't do right. God, however, never fails. He never fails. And so if salvation, number one, if it was in my hands to give to you, then if I don't like you, what does that say about your salvation? Or you don't like me? Or if salvation was in my hands, in other words, if I performed or I did this or I achieved this or accomplished this or whatever, then I could save myself. Well, if I could save myself, Sterling, why did Christ die for me if I could do it myself? So the issue is, we can't save ourselves. So the good news, the gospel, the good tidings is Christ died to save sinners. As Paul said, of whom I am chief. Now raise your hand if you are a sinner and you know Christ died for you. See, that's better, isn't it? That's good news. That's good news. And I want us to look in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 1. A couple verses I want to read out of here. He said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." And that was what I was getting at a while ago. Joseph Smith invented the gospel of Mormonism. There have been men who have invented certain ways, certain ideas. Buddha invented this way. Joe Smith invented this way. The Prophet Muhammad invented this way. And there are all kinds of ways. Ellen White invented her own gospel. Ellen White, the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, said that as long as you keep going to church every Saturday, then you are going to have the grace of God and you're going to go to heaven. But if you don't, then you're lost and you're going to die and go to hell and you got the mark of the beast on you. That is not the gospel that Jesus Christ wrote. It's not the same gospel. The gospel of Joseph Smith, that if you and your spouse are joined together in a secret pagan mystery ritual in the Mormon temple, where these people put their hands all over your private parts in a blessing, if you have that done to you and you stay married throughout your life, then when you both die, you will both be gods over your own planet, and you have about 12 million kids to put on that planet. That's Mormonism. That's wicked. That's not in the Bible. God, you know, can I, the state This may have changed in the last 10 years. I heard this a long time ago. The state with the highest divorce rate in the country is Utah. You know why? Because in the Mormon doctrine, if the wife stops being a Mormon, in order for the man to achieve godhood and have his celestial kingdom, he must divorce her and marry another willing wife to be Mormon. Highest divorce rate in the country is in Utah. That gospel did not come from Jesus Christ. It came from Joseph Smith. And there are other gospels out there that have man as the originator of their gospels. Paul spends a lot of time in Galatians chapter 1 and part of chapter 2 talking about what happened to him after he was saved on the road to Damascus and where he learned from. And Paul basically said, I'm not going to go into all this morning or probably the next week, but he basically said, I didn't go to the other disciples. I didn't go to Peter. I didn't go to James. I didn't go to John. When God called Paul, Paul went out by himself. Jesus himself taught Paul the gospel. Jesus himself did. He didn't hear it from men. So look in verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to share with you this morning that the gospel that you need to believe, and I'm going to teach on belief, and I'm going to teach on revelation. That gospel is going to come from Jesus and Jesus alone. He is going to be revealed to you. You are going to know who He is, and you're going to have a choice then. Am I going to believe it or not? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm asking God for Your grace and Your help. I'm asking Father, Lord, for Your mercy. I'm asking, Lord, for Your kindness, not just to me, but to these people gathered here this morning. These that are sitting here, Lord, expecting to hear something from You. Lord, those that are watching and listening in right now, families all over the world. Lord, they don't need to hear Mike. And Lord, if they're sitting there hoping Mike comes up with something, then Lord, just make me a big failure right in front of everybody. It doesn't bother me. Because I don't want anybody listening to Mike. What I want, God, is for them to listen to You. You have the words of eternal life. Lord, I'm asking, God, that You rise and that You give Your neighbors some bread. Lord, it's a long journey we're on. Some of these people, Lord, I've visited with them today. Some of them, God, they're tired. They're tired of being alone. They're tired of being an outcast. They're tired of being rejected. They're tired of the sins of this life. And I'm asking Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that You would sit down and visit with them today and comfort them. Put Your arm around them, God. Let them know, Lord, that You love them, that You care about them. Lord, Father, that You're going to be with them. And Lord, even after the service today, You're going to go with them wherever they go, Lord, because You promised You would never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm just asking Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that You would just visit with Your people today and bless them and do it for Your kingdom's sake and Your glory's sake. Lord, I like what I learned last night, and I thank You, Lord, so much for it. God, just honor Your kingdom and Your name and Your word. All these things will be added to us, God. We trust that and we believe it. Lord, help this church preach the gospel and preach it right and preach it good. And Lord, just bless us, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. He mentions there in verse 12, he said, I neither received it of man nor was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know that we're told in Scriptures. I haven't seen it yet. But I know that somehow, some way, as Paul was alone, Christ, in some fashion, was visiting with him and was teaching him things. He was probably, obviously, going through the Old Testament, like those two guys on the road to Emmaus. You remember that? After Jesus rose from the dead, these guys walk into Emmaus, and there's Jesus walking with them. And he starts, where are you guys going? And they start telling him. And Jesus starts telling them about who He is and about Christ. And it went all through the Old Testament, all through Moses and the creation and all through the Psalms and the prophets, showing them Jesus Christ And when it finally dawned on them who He was, He vanished from their sight. And they immediately, their eyes were open and they went, that was Jesus right there. Look at that. He was visiting with them and teaching them. And that's exactly, like I say, I don't know how it happened with Paul. But he was hearing from Jesus directly about what was in the prophets, what was in the Psalms, what was in the book of Esther, what was in Genesis, what was in the creation week, everything about the Old Testament, talking about every page of the old book, talking about Jesus, talking about the gospel and resurrection and sins being forgiven and faith and belief and trust in that, and that it's not by works. And Paul was getting that directly from Jesus Christ. You find there in verse 1 of chapter 2, about 14 years Paul spent learning at the hands of none other than Jesus Himself. He was learning the doctrines. He was learning of this grace. And that's why he went around and preached it. And I want to talk a little bit this morning on revelation. Because if you don't have a revelation from God, you don't know the gospel. If you sit and all you do is listen to me preach, and all you're concentrating on is what I'm giving you and what I'm telling you, then you're not going to have any gospel. You're not going to have any good words, because I am a human. I am a failure like everybody else is. I make mistakes. I do wrong. I'm in the flesh. And I have nothing with which to give you that'll sustain you, that'll last you, that'll help you, that will keep you. What I hope to do every time I get up, whether it's here, whether it's down on the floor, whether I'm upstairs talking or whatever it is to draw people, not to me, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let me just explain it to you like this. When I was that day when I was sitting in my office, and my mind was, I was confused about the Word of God. I was confused about the Bible. And I'd been told in Bible college this. I'd been raised one way and taught in Bible college another way. And I wasn't sure. And God began to lead me down a trail of thoughts. And one day, just like that, the Word of the Lord came to me. Mike, the Bible is right in everything it says. It has no mistakes in it. And I accepted that right then and there. Because in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And I'm telling you today, if God doesn't turn the light on for you, you will walk in darkness, my friend. You can go from this church to the next. You can go from one religious practice to another, one preacher to another, one guru to another. Then in all kinds of religious practice, one guy, there's a guy that wrote a book about this. He was in, I don't know, about four or five different mystery cults all at one time. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to gain illumination. Doing this and doing that and practicing this and practicing that. He was doing all of that at one time trying to get it. And you know what happened to him? A bank teller at the bank said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And some, I don't remember the whole story, but he got the gospel just like that. And he said, instantly, all that other stuff was gone for me. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. And unless God reveals that to you, you're never going to have it. Look there in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You see, here's what I'm trying to teach everybody. What I'm trying to teach everybody is that when they get alone with God and they pull out this old 1611 Bible and they start going through it, what I'm trying to teach you is that that is God's Word and you can accept it just like if I was preaching it or some other preacher was preaching it to it. You can sit alone with your Bible and you can have God revealed to you through the pages of this book and you can be right there with God, right there by yourself. Can I hear you say amen? And here's why. If I stand up here or some preacher tries to tell you, now you've got to, the way to God is a mystery. And then I don't tell you, or the book doesn't reveal what the mystery is, how are you going to know how to get to God? How are you going to know the way? And that's what you hear. That's what the Roman Catholic priest will stand up there and say, oh, the way of God is a big mystery. Oh, it's a big mystery. Now we're going to have the mystery of the Eucharist. Now we're going to have the mystery of penance. Now we're going to have the mystery of this and the mystery of that. And everything is a mystery. But God said, He said, the words of the Lord are going to be revealed. The secret's going to be revealed. And they belong to us and to our children. Why? That we may do all the words of this law. If God gave us His Word and gave us the way of salvation and then didn't tell anybody about it and expected you to find it out on your own and figure it out, that's not a good God. It's kind of like teenagers would rise in revolt if their parents punished them for something that they hadn't first declared was out of bounds. And sometimes parents, we want to do that just because we don't like what they did. But the truth is, if the kids break the rules and we didn't tell them what the rules were, then we can't get them for it. So we tell them the rules. And here's what God is doing. He's giving you a Bible. And He's telling you the rules. You know what the rules are for us? Believe what He said. Believe what was written. Believe this book. I'm just asking you simply, do you believe God created the universe in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago, somewhere around in there? I don't know the exact date. And so I believe I got to know that for salvation. Want to bet? You willing to risk your life on it? Because I believe that this book is right in everything that it says. And I don't believe that I have the option of not believing parts of it while I believe other parts of it. Isn't it simpler for us, rather than listening to Carl Sagan and all of these other physicists and all the evolutionists tell us that we came from monkeys? Well, how did that happen? Well, we don't know yet. And the Earth blew out of a big blast of what do they call it? Big Bang. 14 billion years ago. And you ask the question, how did that happen? Well, we don't know. Well, where did that mass come from? Well, we don't know that either. Well, what do you know? Well, we don't know. What we don't know. But we're telling you this is what you believe. Isn't it easier for you to open your Bible in Genesis 1 and say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you say, you know what? I believe that. Amen. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And you just read that and say, you know what? I just believe that. I believe what God said. Because God would not, if He's really God, and He's really as good as I'm supposed to believe He is, He would not leave it up to me to try to figure out how to get to heaven. He would have written it down and told me how to get to heaven. And He did. I'm just asking you, it's already been revealed. Our forefathers knew it. Do we know it? Isaiah 40 verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Notice this, notice what He connected it with. He connected revelation with the mouth of the Lord, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. There are churches, if you go to them, they will promise you experiences. They will fill you full of emotions and feelings and feel good, and you can have these emotional responses in a religious pep rally. You can do all of these things, and they can say, that's God right there. That's how you know. But what if you're just not feeling it one day? What if one day, Wayne, you just wake up and you're trying to go, woo, praise the Lord, but it's just going, oh, I hate life. You ever had days like that, Wayne? You ever had days like that? If they tell you God is in these big emotions and big experiences that make you jump for joy, if they tell you that's where God is, and then you don't have them, does that mean God left you? No. What they told you was wrong. Whether you have joy or whether you have sorrow, whether you're ecstatic and feel like jumping around or you don't, because your mind or your body just can't handle it, you can always still go to the book and have God revealed to you in a fresh way. It'll always still be there. The words don't change. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah 53, look at this. Who hath believed our report? I mentioned to you this morning that God is looking for people who will believe the report. The report is what Isaiah wrote down, what Moses wrote down, what Paul wrote down, what Peter wrote. That's the report. God is looking. And if you know anything about the Bible, you know Isaiah 53. If you go read Isaiah 53, this is really neat. This is written, I don't know, probably 800 years before Christ died on the cross. Everything that they did to Christ on the cross is actually written in the Old Testament. A lot of it is written in Isaiah chapter 53. And God is asking you this morning, do you believe the report that instead of God, watch this now, listen to me, instead of God making you suffer for your sins, God made His Son suffer for your sins. Do you believe that? Do you accept that? So He says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord, there it is, revealed? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. This is why the world hates and rejects Christianity. They don't reject the idea of Christianity. They reject the Christ of Christianity. They've rejected. He is a man of sorrows. He is despised and rejected of men. They want nothing to do with it. You know why? Because the religions of everybody else do not elevate God. They elevate man. And in my religion, man is not elevated, but Christ is. Now get amen out of God's people. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. If you go on reading Isaiah chapter 53, you'll see the sufferings of the one and only God in the flesh on the cross. You'll see that written down some 700-800 years before it ever happened. You know why? God already knew. God already knew. Not one thing fails. Now watch this. In John chapter 12, this passage here in Isaiah 53 is actually quoted a couple times in the New Testament. One of which, in John chapter 12, as Jesus is going around among His own people, among them, among His own family members. Did you know, according to what we see in the Scripture, this is kind of how I see it, most of Jesus' own brethren, that is, the other children of Mary. You didn't know she had other children, did you? Catholic Church teaches that she was a virgin even after that. That's not what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says that He knew her not until she had conceived and brought forth the firstborn son. Then He consummated the marriage with her, and He had half-brothers. James was one of them. And did you know that not even His brethren, when He was here on the earth, believed that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God? Not even His brethren did. So He found amongst His own people, the people who had been given the Ten Commandments, the people who had been given the manna, the people who walked through the Red Sea, He found even amongst His own people that they didn't believe Him and what He said and what He was going to do. So in John chapter 12, verse 37, but though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom the arm of the Lord hath been revealed. You see, there's, I don't know, maybe everybody's just different. I understand that, and maybe some don't. I don't try to knock churches that have a different style of worship than we do. I mean, we're pretty simple, pretty laid back, pretty old fashioned, piano, guitar, a little this, and a little hand clapping every now and then, and just a lot of bad singing that we try to make sound good. Amen. I mean, we're not professionals here. Some churches do it better than others. Some churches like to bounce a little. And that's all. That's fine. But I'm just asking, do they believe the Bible? Because some churches, oh, they're going to do miracles. Oh, they're going to have great explosions of this and that and the other. Jesus did all of that amongst Israel. And they still didn't believe what he said.
It said, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? So he says in verse 39, therefore they could not believe. Because that Isaiah said, again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What's wrong with your heart and why you won't believe what God said? What is wrong with your heart? See, I see right here that God, it says right here, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see. Why did God do that? Didn't He love Israel? Yes. Why did God do that? Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to show you why. I want to show you why you might be listening today and you still don't believe the Bible. I'm going to show you why. 2 Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians is about, especially chapter 2, it's about the coming of the Antichrist. And it says, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Why is it that people are not, that God doesn't open their mind and their heart and give them the truth? Do you know why that is? They don't want it. They don't want the truth. The truth is, Christ died for their sins. The truth is, they're going to have to believe the book. The truth is, God came to pull us away from our sins, not keep us in our sins. And a lot of people, Jason, don't want to believe that. So God doesn't open their heart and give them belief. Because they just want to be lied to. I know people like that, don't you? They just want to be lied to. You can tell them, well, as long as you tell them something nice to them about them, they'll be your friend. But if you've ever had to tell somebody the truth, and they cut you off instantly, they didn't want to hear it. That's why God closed the mind of Israel to this day. There's a veil over Moses' face as they read the Old Testament. And God will not lift that veil until Israel finally says, God, I want to know. I want to know the truth. Who in here would pay a doctor to lie to you? Doctor, I want to know the truth. I might be able to handle the truth, but I want to know the truth. You tell me what's going on. And the great physician is here in this room today, and he wants you to know the truth. Do you really want to know what that is? So that's why the scriptures were right. Who hath believed our report? Now, take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to show you this very quickly, and then I'm going to close this off today. A couple places where Isaiah 53 shows up in the scriptures. One of them there we saw in John. This other one here, it's a really neat story. Because Philip was called. God told Philip, said, Philip, rise up and go out down the street and hang a left. And I got something I want you to do. Philip didn't say, well, what is it, God? Do I want to? Philip just got up and he just did what God told him to do. God never told him the end of it. He just said, Philip, go do it. Well, whether we had that kind of faith. Amen. We don't always need to see the end of what God's going to do. We just need to trust God that when He's going to do something, He's going to do it right and it's going to be good. Somebody say amen. So God says, get up. Why don't we just get up? And God says, sit still. Why don't we just sit still? Maybe it's okay to ask God every now and then, but God, I trust You. Whatever You decide to do, that's what we'll do. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so Philip, he ends up meeting this guy. That's a guy on a chariot. And he is from Ethiopia. He is the head eunuch of the whatever. He was the eunuch over down there. He was the head one. He was a believing Jew in that he believed the Old Testament. And as he's riding toward Jerusalem, he's reading the Scriptures. And Philip jumps up, and the Holy Spirit said, Philip, go get in the cab of that guy's car. So he jumps up in the chariot, and Philip says, what are you reading? And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I understand except some man teach me? That's why we have church, amen, and Sunday school and Bible studies and everything else. Why? Because maybe you have a little problem understanding everything. Maybe you need a little help. That's why God gives us one another. I've been helped from some people. There was a guy in my office a couple weeks ago, came all the way down from Canada. He said, Mike, I got to show you this. And I was impressed when he got done. I was blessed as a result of it. It was good stuff. God uses us. But anyway, he said, the place of the scripture, what you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And see, that eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. And the eunuch asked the question. He said, is he speaking of himself? Is Isaiah talking about himself? Or who's he talking about? This eunuch had not heard that Christ died. He'd not heard that. So verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You see, I'm thankful for the New Testament because it sheds light on the Old Testament. But there are many different ways, many different verses that you can use to lead somebody to the cross. But you can pull it out of the Old Testament, the New Testament, it doesn't matter. Just open that book up and God will start preaching to you. And he's there preaching out of the Old Testament, Isaiah. And he began to preach unto him Jesus. And look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? You know what that eunuch was saying? I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to meet Jesus. I believe what you said. And watch this now, because I'm going to turn up here on the screen. This verse is not in the New International Version of the Bible. It's not in the New American Standard Version of the Bible. It's not in the Holman Standard of the Bible. It's not in the New English Version of the Bible. It's not in the Message Bible. This verse is only in the King James Bible. And all of the other translations, Wayne, they took it out. Because the eunuch is asking about baptism. You know, churches baptize people. Do you know Baptist churches baptize people and Methodist church baptize people and Catholic churches baptize people? They do it differently, but they baptize people. So does that mean that everybody that gets baptized is going to heaven? If that's the case, I would line everybody up that has not been baptized, march them in the baptistry, put them under the water, and then think in my mind, okay, you're going to heaven now. That's a different gospel. That's not the real gospel. Because what if, Jim, I don't want to baptize you? What if I don't like you? What if you don't like me? What if you're afraid? Well, I baptized a guy one time that had hydrophobia. He was afraid of being underwater. That was a little tricky. What if he didn't want to be baptized in water? What if he didn't want that? So the eunuch is asking, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Your Bible that's in your hand is the only one that's going to reveal the arm of the Lord to you and show you how you can be saved. Verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Did you know, and I want to give something to you. Did you know you could read Isaiah 53 all day long and never find out from Isaiah 53 that Jesus is the Son of God? Because this eunuch had been reading it that whole trip. He didn't know who it was talking about. When it's revealed to you, who does it have to be revealed by? Philip? Mike Hoggard? Bethel Church? The Holy Spirit. You don't see Jesus is the Son of God anywhere in Isaiah 53. But instantly, the eunuch, his eyes are open now. And you know what he said? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And he believes it. Now, he can be baptized. You know why? He believes the report of Isaiah 53. He believes what was written down. He believes the Bible, and he believes the gospel. And Philip knew to not to teach him, well, let's just be baptized. Maybe you'll get it afterward. No, 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 no. And I want you to, it's really funny, because if you look in other translations of the Bible, like the NIV, they skip from verse 36 to verse 38. Or some of them actually leave a blank space there. If I were you, I would question the blank space. I would say, what is it that's in this verse that they took out, that they don't want me to know? Because I'm telling you, they took the most essential part of the story out of this passage. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Maybe I'm preaching this for somebody listening. Maybe you just tuning in. We're kind of broadcasting a new stream in a different location. We're still on sermon audio, but we're putting it out in a different place. Maybe somebody passing along decided to watch what's going on here. And maybe all the course of your life you were told, don't believe the Bible, don't believe the Bible, don't believe the Bible. I can tell you that out of this sermon this morning, I don't think I convinced anybody. And I'm glad that I didn't. But I'm hoping that somebody heard the Word of God and a seed was planted. And now someone says, you know what? For some reason, I believe the Bible is the Word of God and I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I'm hoping and praying that. Maybe if you're here, maybe you've been challenged by somebody. Well, I don't know if King James is right. I don't know. I've heard it this way and that way. I just don't know about that. Maybe, hopefully, God can do with you what He did with me. Because God said, let there be light. And there was light. So I'm hoping and praying this morning, God shines light in your soul. And then you'll know. And if not, ask yourself the question, why? Why am I not believing? Is there something wrong with me? Did you know you could ask God if something's wrong with you, and if you want to know, God will tell you. I'd like for you to stand to your feet. Bow your heads this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, I don't know, maybe you're here this morning and you just, I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I believe. I have trouble believing. You know what the disciples did? They went to Jesus and they said, Lord, help thou our unbelief. And I can tell you that out of all the things that I'd all seen throughout all my life, what convinced me that my Bible was right and everything that it said was not man. It was what God said to me. And if you're here today and you're struggling with that, do I believe it? You can ask God, God, I'm asking you, show me the way to eternal life. I want to know, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. God, show me that way. God, open my eyes. Let me see it. Help me to believe it. And if you pray, God's just good enough to do that for you. Or maybe you're here this morning and the devil has been riding you this week because you've not lived very good at all. And you're thinking, boy, I don't belong in church. I just don't feel right about it today. I don't think anybody like me could go to heaven.
I'm not going to ask you what you did. I'm going to ask you, do you believe? Do you believe what God says? Do you believe the report of God that Christ died for you? That He is the Son of God? Do you believe that? Will you believe it? Or maybe you're tuning in, maybe you're watching us today. And for the first time, really, God got a hold of your heart about something. I don't know what it is. But you would say, you know what? For some reason, I just believe the Bible now. God did that for you. I didn't. But I want to have just a time this morning. If God's leading you to come, I'd like for you to come. Don't come on my say-so. I don't think this morning, I don't think I preached a very good message. Just being honest with you. So I'm not looking for you to respond on my say-so. But if God is dealing with your heart about something, and God's working in you, I'm going to ask you to come and pray. Or at least stand there and pray. But I'm going to ask you to pray this morning. Will you do that?